Okay. Hello, Profit Addicts, and welcome to another episode of The Other Marketing Guys. Today, we're going to talk about five things that
actionable money-making tips
that all SaaS companies should implement right now.
Correct.
And let's just like very quickly say SaaS companies is software as a service company, but many of these tips are actually good for if you sell any other recurring.
Correct, yes.
So if you have a membership program for on your website or something else, then many of these tips could be used as well. And I'm up for the first tip. Yeah. And as always, we haven't prepared together, so
correct.
We might overlap, we might not, and we might not agree. So my first tip is actually a software for software as a service companies.
Drum roll.
It's Bare Metrics.
Yes.
Yeah, and you probably have that as well. Yeah. So the first thing you need to know to run software as a service companies is all your basic numbers, your monthly recurring revenue, annual recurring revenue, your churn rate, your custom lifetime value, your average price per customer, your all of these metrics. And this could take full-time developers years to make all of this. But if you just plug all data into Bare Metrics, boom, it's all there.
Yes. One thing I want to add, because again, you said I'll disagree. I disagree slightly to a degree, because from my experience, at least, sometimes it's a little bit too, I don't know how to put it actually. You waste a little bit too much time on focusing on numbers that you can't directly improve right now, if you know what I mean. And this primarily applies for SaaS that is very early stage. So if you are very early, my opinion is that you should focus on building the product and understanding your product and the audience that you are, instead of just focusing on some numbers that you cannot, it doesn't even make sense. If you have like three customers, what are you going to monitor, if you know what I mean? But once you cross that border, once you get to a level where it actually makes sense, and if potentially you need investors, it's really important to actually show
you
these
actually
numbers.
have to know this.
Correct.
So it's actually both true and untrue that you don't need to do it in the beginning, because you would never ever going to get any investment without knowing at least some of these numbers.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the thing, because in the beginning, I would personally, if I had to make a SaaS right now, I would go for market research and estimates. I wouldn't spend time, even if I had a build product, I wouldn't spend time focusing so much on how much new revenue we're making. You know, month over month growth, these are easy numbers. You know them. Like, now I have two customers, tomorrow I have three customers. Wow, big deal, right? But if it's like, you know, like ratios of different like subscribers and this much per subscriber and churn per whatever, I think it doesn't really matter in the beginning.
But if you know already after like 25 or 30 customers, if you know what it costs for you to gain a new customer,
I agree.
And if you know what the monthly recurring revenue, you always have to know your monthly recurring revenue.
I agree.
You can run a business without knowing the recurring revenue.
Yes, and here's
a lot of people don't know that.
Exactly. Here's the standpoint that I'm having is exactly this. Like, so for example, if you've already arranged all of the other things, such as you have a tool and you know who you're targeting and whatever, then I think it makes a lot of sense. But in my opinion, if you don't even have a platform, maybe it's just an idea yet, focus on getting the qualitative feedback rather than the quantitative feedback, because one simple pivot that you can learn about from the qualitative feedback can actually move the needle a lot more
This is for SaaS companies. Are you a SaaS company if you don't have a product yet?
Yes, actually. I mean, especially in Silicon Valley, I think right now a lot of people are talking about, like minimum MVP, minimum viable product, just so they show designs and stuff like that before they get the investors. And at this stage, I think it's not even relevant to bother about how you're tracking metrics.
So next
I do agree we should track metrics. Yes.
Napster.
Next tip, engage email subscribers with onboarding flows. And this is something actually that we tried in our SaaS. And I'm not sure. See, that's the thing, because most of these things, like these tips, I feel we can't give a ballpark number. And this really sucks, because I've been looking for ballpark numbers myself. But you can't really give one, because if I say 10% of something, you can't compare it. There's so many different types of SaaS. So many.
Every SaaS company has their own numbers.
Correct.
So you can't do that.
Exactly.
So,
and
yeah.
Kind of sucks.
But why should they do the onboarding mail?
Yes, exactly what I'm saying. Kind of sucks that you can't really know if you're doing good or not with the onboarding emails. But at the very least, if you have them, you know you're doing better than not having them. An onboarding email is basically a sequence of emails that when you sign up for, or your users, when your users sign up for your tool, they start getting relevant information that tries to make them more aware of features and obviously move them down the closing, the funnel, you know, getting them closer to the sale.
And also, if you don't, if you already have made the sale, this is also highly important because the biggest churn reason all says that's just like churn is for when the customer signs off. It could be also for like if you have a membership program, or if you have a course, a membership, or if you have a software service. Churn is just when your user signs off. If your churn rate is 10%, then 10% of your users sign off every month or cancel their subscription. But the biggest churn factor is that people are not using the software or the membership.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Actually, that's very right, because those that are not supposed to use it, they'll churn immediately and they will be nothing close to your average lifetime value of the customer. But what I'm thinking also is, you said churn for subscribers, it could also be churn for MRR. You can see how much money you're churning every month. Essentially,
yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like,
okay, see, that's the thing, because one of the things that we were measuring, at least in our SaaS, is that how do you put it? Like the total subscriber count churn. So we didn't really focus on the MRR churn, which in my opinion should be more important than purely the number of people. And if we don't focus it's a bad thing for investors, you know, because let's say again, you're a very high ticket B2B software. If you focus on the numbers of subscribers, you have like one customer drops off out of 100, but that one customer could be
20%.
Yeah, correct. Yes. Still, good points. Yeah. Should we go on number three?
Number three is, and this is also like very intangible. It's don't be too cheap on your product price. So if I run a membership program for, let's say in the future, I could maybe run some membership program for developing your own website and making it do stuff.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, that's my software. It's programmed stuff. Yeah, nice. But this could very well cost like $10 a month. Let's just say $10. It could be $100, but software is usually much more expensive. And this is the whole deal about this tip number three. It's if you are going for 12, you might as well go for $19.99. If you're going for 140, you might as well go for 149. And it's actually, you have to push it to the limit to find the highest price possible. Because if you just put in like, okay, this product cost me this and how much to run, and I think it's only worth like $20 in the software or something. But you have to put in, like, I would say at least 20 or 25 or even 30% margin just for advertising on top of what you it would cost and the earnings you would like to have on each product. You have to put in like a very fat layer just for advertising. Correct. So if you know you keep the average client or the average membership or the average software user for 12 months and you have $10, then you know your custom lifetime value is $120. So if you put in $9 extra for all these 12 months and you can retain them as much, then you have 9 times 12. I don't know how much that is in my head.
108.
Okay, $108 for extra marketing. That's so much extra. So you know you can spend like $100 per new sign up you will get and client you will get.
Exactly.
So that is like for you doing like more higher tickets. Then if you put on like $100 extra a month, just if we are thinking, and you anyway retain the clients for 7 or 17 months or something. Then you could put these money to, if you have like bigger businesses as your clients, like for sales people.
I see what you mean. Like, okay.
So you get $300 for each client you get us.
Mm-hmm, correct.
And you have more more money to give to affiliate commission.
Exactly.
And so on. So you actually have to make some, like, a fat amount of extra layer, mm-hmm. especially in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So at some point when you are so big that people have heard of you and money's word of mouth starts, then you can actually at that point lower your price, but that would just be stupid.
Yeah, exactly. If people are used to it, there's no point, but yeah, it makes sense. Actually, I want to build off of this tip for the next tip, which is number four. In number four, I have, if you're having sign-up/subscription problems, figure out whether it's a quality or a quantity issue. And I want to say exactly, like, build off what you just finished with the, it's sort of like touches upon building a revenue engine, so to speak. So if you have organic revenue engine, let's say you do SEO and you get a lot of leads that qualify themselves, or through lead forms, you get their information and you call them. Still, there's different parts of the lead engine. So as Simon said, if you allocate specific money for each engine, first of all, you can get a way better overview. Second of all, you can potentially actually affect those prices. You can lower them down. Let's say you see that 6 months in, once you're running the company, you see that sales does really good. And actually, when you draw the line, let's say with salaries and all expenses like software and whatever, it actually is way more profitable, like 3 times more profitable for you to do sales instead of SEO or whatever. You can cut that channel off and put the money in the previous one. Yeah. It's a really good, like,
attribution.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's more like internal attribution, understanding your own. And it doesn't, I mean, it has to do with analytics as well and stuff like that, but they're also flawed. So it's good that you understand your company from inside out, for example, how the sales,
it's basic sales process budgeting. So yeah,
exactly.
But without, if you only like budget for the price of the development and some money, salary for you, mm-hmm. and you forget that maybe half of it and even more is for sales and advertising, maybe mm-hmm. 25% for mm-hmm. sales, 25% for advertising. Mm-hmm. If you forget this, then this, even the best product in the world will go nowhere if no one hears about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And at, let's say, best case scenario, you're just going to have problems with investors because they're going to see numbers that they expected to see different numbers, correct, right? Yeah, I agree.
Starting off too cheap is also like a dangerous game, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It's okay, so there's also, I don't know, do you have anything about grandfathering?
No.
Okay, I don't have either, but maybe we can just put it in here. So this is kind of like the reverse. Yeah, the reverse of grandfathering, in my opinion. But let's say you have new features or new products or new prices, the users that are currently subscribed, what do you do with them? That's the process of grandfathering. Like, do you upgrade them for free, or do you give them like a grace period of X months for them to decide whether they want to stay or not, and so on and so on. Yeah, I just want to say something here. One thing that we had a problem with in the beginning is not knowing actually whether our leads were good enough or we were getting enough leads, because we have a lot of organic traffic, but it's not necessarily relevant. We have some articles that we wrote in the beginning that get students, basically. We're not getting our target audience
about that.
Yeah. And they really offset the data when we look at it. You know, a lot of the traffic is also direct, as you say, because, for example, our founder has a strong brand, for example, in Denmark.
More and more traffic is going to direct because of the cookie laws.
And also the cookies, yeah. So it's really hard to attribute. And we were really struck with whether it's, are we getting quality people, like businesses signing up for our tool, or is it more of a not getting enough of those people that's hurting our business? And that's, I think, also very important. And this is once again tied to you saying the putting money in different channels.
Also, like, If you're selling a product and your targeted audience are businesses, mm-hmm. then price it like something a business would buy.
Exactly.
So if I make $1,000 extra purchasing something, or $10,000 extra, mm-hmm. then it might as well cost me $500 and not $9.
Correct.
Yeah. That's just stupid. It feels like, okay, is this even working?
Yeah. Do you have a specific tip about this?
Yeah, I have. I have the you were the fourth.
Is that the last one?
I have the fifth tip with which is the last one, because we're already in the 15-minute mark. So nice. I have lifetime deals, which is an actionable tips for now, and is something that very, very, very few are implementing it. I see some are doing it especially with the recurring subscription businesses, and not a lot of people are doing it, or businesses are doing it with software. Mm-hmm. Lifetime deals, I'm not thinking about the AppSumo way. That's the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Where you're doing a lifetime deal with, like, for a fraction of the cost. I think that's stupid. But yes. if you know by 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, if you know your average lifetime value at that point, let's say it's 12 months, mm-hmm. easy to calculate with, mm-hmm. then on your sign-up page, you offer the user to sign up for monthly, yearly, uh-huh. or and lifetime access, where you can put in like three times the price of a normal. It could be like mm-hmm. 3 years, and then you get lifetime access. Think about it. If you know already that your average user stay on for 12 months, this is like customer lifetime value hacking. Because you're putting in all those who signs up for the, it's like 36 months, then you have those are nailed down to be three times the average lifetime value from mm-hmm. the beginning, mm-hmm. and they have forever free access.
Yeah.
And another one is the best one, I think. Mm-hmm. If you keep that on the front end, which is cool, but some people might not beginning like offer, it could be thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So they might not know if they want this. So you pick the monthly. I always start off when I start a new software. I always pick the monthly, not the yearly, even though I usually save 20%.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But while you're in the honeymoon period, as I like to call it, let's say you have 12 months custom lifetime, and you know that, but you know that in the first 6 or 7 months. They are using the software quite a lot, or mm-hmm. is using the membership program quite a lot. Then you hit them with an email. Would you like right now to upgrade your account to forever free, forever access for like a 24 or 20 or 30 months deal? So it's cheaper than those who signed up in the first place, mm-hmm. but it's still 7 months plus like 30 or 40 months or something, depending on where you're at, right. Then you have somebody who starting to like the software and think about, oh, I'm going to use this and I'm using it right now, it's cool. But at the time they start, the fuel starts burning out and mm-hmm. the honeymoon phase is over mm-hmm. with the software, and 4 months after they will sign off. If their login starts to die out or something, mm-hmm. and you hit them with this and then they can, oh, I'm going to purchase this because I'm going to save a lot of money. I can show this to the board or to my boss. I'm going to get this offer and I can save. We don't have to pay forever.
Yeah.
The cool thing is that it has a like in I can't really translate the word. It has a like a, it would strengthen mm-hmm. their desire to use the software.
Yeah, like the engagement of the I agree.
The engagement is starting to die out, and now I just used $3,000 to use this forever, so I better use it.
Exactly.
And then you maybe even turned into something of an evangelist mm-hmm. for the software, yep. because you purchase this, you have forever free yep. access, you can tell your friends about it, and yep. you got that offer.
Exactly.
And you can even, if you are really good at data and data science, you can see, you can monitor how often they log in and if when it starts to die out. So mm-hmm. it's not just a generic 7 months down the road, because some users are going to use the software forever mm-hmm. and you don't want to give them that opportunity.
Exactly.
But if you have someone that's dying out and this like you could see the login, it starts to be 2 days between it, 4 days between it, a week between it, then you hit them, something I can do to help you, and here's a video about some features in it, and also we have this offer for forever access.
I think when I first came to you, when I knocked on your door several years ago, I think this is the first SaaS tip that you taught me,
yeah.
and I've remembered it every fucking day since. I can't stop thinking about it. I really want to try it eventually. One thing that I want to mention, the analysis that you're mentioning, it actually if you have e-commerce tracking, enhanced e-commerce setup automatically in not automatically, but already in analytics, it should be pretty easy to see it with a cohort analysis as well. If you are tracking unsubscribers somehow, maybe through your payment system, if it passes data, you can cross-reference, I guess, engagement, like logins, if you're tracking that as well.
I would do it in my own data. I wouldn't trust analytics. I would have my own data center to see, like, you can see you have all the users and or the accounts or what it's, or the subscriptions or what it's, if it's a membership or if it's a software, and you could see maybe the last login, or you could see maybe you could put in something called a login rate.
Yeah, exactly.
And if it's once a day and it starts to die out, so if the login rate is falling down, then you can hit them with that offer.
You can definitely find some thresholds there about how often.
Test it.
Do you know if that's in Bear Metrics already?
We actually don't use it.
We don't use Bear Metrics. I know about it. I have seen it. But
so to sign off for today, because this is getting long already, this is only a 5 tips video and it was 20 minutes, but Martin works in a SaaS company and I have a lot of love for SaaS businesses. But if you like this video or if you like videos like this, then subscribe to my channel, and every Monday for hopefully years to come, you will see videos with the other marketing guys.
These other marketing guys. See you guys.